Good evening. Hello, Cliff. How is Dawn doing? She getting better?
We hope.
We hope so too. Not only do we hope, we pray. Who can remember my topic from last week? Heaven. Heaven. Well, tonight, my topic is the opposite place. Hell. I hope not, Cletus. If you have your Bible, let's go ahead and open up to Mark. Mark chapter 9, the verses 43 through 48. Now, my version will be a little different than yours because the King James has a few verses extra. Mark 9, starting with verse 43. Jesus is talking here. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to lose part of your body and live forever than to have two hands and go to hell, where the fire never goes out. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to lose part of your body and to live forever than to have 2 feet and be to be thrown into hell. If your eye causes you to sin, take it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell. In hell, the worm does not die. The fire never is put out. Cletus is right. None of us want to go there. But unfortunately, the general attitude of people in our modern society is that hell should be put aside as something that is not necessary, a relic of the past, something not real. It should be put along with ghosts and goblins and just ignored. But let me tell you something. If heaven was real, and I believe it to be real, hell is a real place. Because our Lord and Savior said it. But unfortunately, our current religious thought is the same as it was many, many years ago. Listen to Isaiah 30, verses 10 and 11, and tell me if this is not basically what mankind is saying today. Isaiah 30, 10 and 11. They tell the seers, don't see any more visions. They say to the prophets, don't tell us the truth. Say things that will make us feel good. See only good things for us. Stop blocking our path. Get out of our way. Stop telling us about God, the Holy One of Israel. Now, couldn't we say that those are the words of modern man as well? It's amazing how the Word of God remains relevant. Consequently, most of the preaching these days, even among the churches of Christ, stress the positive. And hell is not very positive, is it? So, today we hear a lot of very positive sermons. Sermons about goodness, about love, about forgiveness and joy. And these things aren't bad. We should preach on these things. But these things taught without the concept of hell is only part of the gospel. Not the whole gospel. And How long has it been since many of us have heard a sermon about hell? Or if we go to some of the churches in the neighborhood and ask them when the last time they heard a sermon on hell is, I don't know what the answer would be. But I think, wow. There was a time when people liked that what was called fire and brimstone sermons. Today they tend to be out of place. And some denominations have even rejected the thought of hell. That's that it does not belong in the Bible. If we can put any confidence in the teaching of Jesus, and I think we can, it is a tragic and sad fact that the vast majority of people are going to hell. Truth. Listen to the words of Jesus himself in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. He says, enter through the narrow gate. How narrow is a narrow gate, Charlie? But it's got to be pretty narrow, doesn't it? The gate is wide, and the road is wide that leads to hell. And many people enter through that gate. When we're driving, don't we like the big, wide road, straight, so we can put the pedal to the metal? And we like those roads, don't we? They get us to the place we want to go quickly. Of course, if that place is hell, I don't want to get there too quick. But it goes on. Verse 14. But the gate is small, and the road is narrow that leads to true life. Only, these are the words of Jesus, only a few people find that road. Now let me ask you, according to Jesus, how many people are going to make it to heaven? I don't mean a literal number. A few. And how many are going to make it to hell? Many. A fact of truth. Not from Monty. From Jesus. If the words of Jesus are reliable, the majority of people in the world are heading to hell. And it's our responsibility to see that they know that. But as we read from Isaiah, they don't want that news. They want to hear that things are good. They want to hear things that pick them up and make them feel good about themselves. So what am I supposed to do? Praise the Lord, you're all going to hell. No. We need to let people know, even when they don't want to. Hell is not a wonderful place. Yes, the great masses of people have jammed and crowded onto that broad way. They are doomed to be lost in hell. And the sad thing is, most of them don't want to be disturbed about it. Leave me be. I don't want to hear what you got to say. And most popular preachers today ignore the topic of hell. They ignore the topic of judgment, and they preach goodness and mercy and grace, which are good things in the proper perspective. But unfortunately, feel-good sermons, why they have their place at times, lead people to hell. Some people feel that hell should be gotten rid of because it is born of revenge. It is born of brutality. But that isn't so. The idea is born of God, and the Bible teaches God is love. But how do we reconcile a place of intense suffering with the love of God? Well, let's see what the Bible says. In the Old Testament, Hell is the word generally is translated wrong. Often I don't translate the Bible. Often those who translate the Bible take the Hebrew word Sheol and translated hell. But Sheol was the Hebrew word that meant the unseen world, the abode of the departed who are awaiting judgment day. That is not hell. It is true that in some passages, Sheol can mean the grave. But in most passages, it refers to the abode of the dead, which we have talked about. In the New Testament, hell appears as a translation of three words. Hades, which we noticed was the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Sheol, meaning that place where the departed go to. There is also the word Tartarus, which is found only in 2 Peter 2 verse 4, and it means that place where the wicked dead go to await judgment. Paradise being the place where the righteous go to await judgment. And there's one more word in Greek and in Hebrew. The word is Gehenna, Hebrew. Gehenna is the place of eternal punishment for the wicked. Gehenna is hell. Gehenna is first referred to in the Old Testament, in Joshua 15 and Joshua 18, it's the Valley of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom was the boundary between Judah and Benjamin. At that time, it had no bad connotation. It was merely the boundary point. But it was also the Valley of Hinnom, where Solomon first erected high places for Molech. If you know who Molech is, he was one of the gods of the land when you offered children to Molech. And when you offer children, I don't mean, here, take my child and raise him up. No. Well, they kill the children in the name of Molech, for Molech, a place of reprehensible service to a false god who requires the death of children. So by the time of our Lord, the Valley of Hinnom was a place of historical shame for the people of God. When they should have been worshiping God, they worshiped Molech and sacrificed their children to Molech. But also, the Valley of Hinnom was later used as a garbage dump. They would dump the trash and the sewage of the city and the Valley of Hinnom. It was said of this trash dump that it burned day and night with a terrible stench. And sometimes, I don't know if you ever lived near a sewage treatment plant, and sometimes the wind just blows just right and comes your direction and whew, stings. Sometimes it happened in Jerusalem. But also, this Valley of Hinnom was where they would throw dead animals into. So they wouldn't, you know, if a Jew came in contact with a dead animal, then they had to go through purification rites. So they would take these dead animals and throw them into this valley. And so it was also said of this valley, not only did it burn day and night, but it was full of worms. You can imagine why. So, when Jesus talked about Gehenna, it was not a pretty sight, nor did Jesus want it to be a pretty sight. When Jesus talked about hell being Gehenna, what came to the people's mind? This valley where they put their trash, where they put their sewage, where the fire burned, where they would throw dead animals. And I think I also read in one commentary, criminals were thrown in there too. So the valley of fire, the valley of stink, the valley of shame for Israel when they offered children to Molech. Just as sometimes it is hard for us to understand heaven, it's hard for us to understand the miseries, the stench, and the filth of hell. Because that's what that valley of Hinnom represented. Filth and stench and miseries. And Jesus speaks in a way that people will understand how bad hell is. Just like he tried to speak in ways to show us how heaven is, he tries to explain the evilness and shame and corruption and filth, both moral and spiritual, of Hinnom. Oddly enough, in the view of current religious thought pertaining to this subject, who spoke more of hell in the Old and the New Testament than any other person? Jesus Christ. 12 times in the New Testament is Gehenna spoken of. 11 times it was Jesus Himself. And 1 time was mentioned in the book of James. In Matthew 5:22, we read, "But I tell you, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be judged. If you say bad things to a brother or sister, you will be judged by the council. And if you call someone a fool, you will be in danger of the fire of hell," or Gehenna. Matthew 5:29, the parallel passage to that passage in Mark. Jesus said, "If your right eye causes you to sin, take it out and throw it away. It is better to lose one part of your body than to have your whole body thrown into hell," Gehenna. In Matthew 10:28, when he sent out the 12 on the limited commission, he charged them thusly, in verse 28, "Don't be afraid of people who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. The only one you should fear is the one who can destroy the soul and the body in hell," Gehenna. He spoke of the separation from Him as the light of the world and being cast into outer darkness in Matthew 8:12. "But those people who should be in the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where people will cry and grind their teeth with pain." He even emphasized the indescribable agonies there by saying that they would cry and grind their teeth with pain. Remember, in verse 48 of Mark 9, he says, "In hell the worm does not die, the fire is never out." Hell is not a wonderful place. But most people in this world today will go there. Jesus talked about hell. Jesus said people will go there. It's a real place. It is indescribable in many ways, but it is real. And I find it interesting that it's described as darkness. Jesus is light. God is light. As we talked about it today, to say that God is light is linked to the holiness of God. So things holy will go to heaven. The unholy won't. But do these verses sound like that Jesus believed in hell? Jesus not only believed in hell, He knew it was a real place. Just as the Popka is real. Not that I'm comparing a Popka to hell. Just as a Popka is real, hell is a real place. So is Mount Dora. James 3:6 is the only passage in the New Testament that Gehenna is used that was not quoted by Jesus. Let me go ahead and read it. James 3:6. "And the tongue is like a fire. It is a whole world of evil among the parts of our bodies. The tongue spreads its evil through the whole body. The tongue is set on fire by hell," Gehenna, And it starts a fire that influences all of our life. I find it interesting. That was James 3:6. James 3:6. I find it interesting. For those of you who are here this morning, Jerry pointed out something very interesting. When they first put that first sacrifice on the altar, who sent the fire that took the sacrifice and started the fire on the altar the first time? It was God Himself who did that. That fire was holy, and that's why when they brought in that strange fire, they ignored the holy fire that God Himself had given them. Here, there it was God who sent the fire, and therefore when the angel took that fire, took a coal from that fire and put it on the lips of Isaiah, Isaiah was holy and pure and righteous. What does this say about the tongue that is moved by the fire of hell? It says it starts a fire that influences all of our life. This fire comes from Satan. This fire comes from sin. This fire, like the fire of God makes righteous. The fire of hell destroys the soul. I think this is a parallel to the Old Testament where it talks about that fire from God. It's a big difference in a fire sent by God and a fire sent from the fire pits of hell. But Jesus needs to be taken seriously when He speaks on hell. Yet, it is not to be seen that God takes pleasure in the thought of hell. I like what Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 33:11. God Himself is speaking here in Ezekiel 33. The Lord God says, "As surely as I live, I do not want any who are wicked to die. I want them to stop doing evil and live. Stop! Stop your wicked ways. You don't want to die, do you, people of Israel?" God does not take pleasure in wrongdoing. He does not take pleasure in sending people to hell. Let me put it this way. God doesn't send you to hell. You send yourself to hell. It is important for us to know who will be in hell. Since we cannot judge or pass judgment on people, the Lord must do it. So let His Word judge. In Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15, the Apostle John wrote of his vision of Judgment Day. "And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Then books were opened, and the book of life was opened. The dead were judged by what they had done, which was written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. Each person was judged by what he had done. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And anyone's name who was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." Who is going to hell? Those whose name is not written in the book of life. Revelation 21:8. I used to know this by heart. Revelation 21:8. But who is going to hell? But cowards. Those who refuse to believe. Who do evil things. Who kill. Who sin sexually. Who do evil magic. Who worship idols. Who tell lies. All these will have a place in the lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. But He kind of tells us whose names are not written in the book of life. From this we see that hell is not only going to be a place of spiritual darkness and corruption. It will be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It will be a dumping ground for all moral and spiritual filth. I've heard people say, I don't go to church because it's filled with hypocrites. But let me tell you something. I would rather spend 2 hours a week with hypocrites than an eternity in hell. Can a loving God send anyone to hell? Many don't think so. They hope and believe that God will find a way to allow all to enter heaven, no matter what they did or thought or lived in their life upon earth. Brethren, if this is your view of hell, you need to bring it in line with what the Bible teaches. For the Bible teaches that hell is a real place and that real people will go there. But hell was not created for mankind. God did not create hell to put evil people in. Matthew 25:41. Then the king will say to those on his left, go away from me, you will be punished. Go into the fire that burns forever, that was prepared for the devil and his angels. See, heaven wasn't prepared for people. It was prepared for devil and the angels. God never wanted mankind to go to hell. He does not want anyone to go to hell. He loves us so much, He gave His Son to die that we might be able to go to heaven. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in doing what He promised, the way some people understand slowness, but God is being patient with you. He does not want anyone to be lost, but He wants all people to change their hearts and lives. You see, He doesn't want you to go to hell. He's even put the time of judgment off that people have a chance to repent, to be baptized, that they might be saved. In 1 Timothy 2:4, Paul explains this, that God wants all people to be saved and to know the truth. He doesn't want to send you to hell. He doesn't want to send our neighbors to hell. He doesn't want to send anyone to hell but Satan and his angels. Should any of us go to hell, it will be contrary to the will of God. His will is for us to be saved. His will is for us to go to heaven. If we go to hell, it is in spite of the will of God and His efforts to prevent it. But you've got to be a Christian if you want to escape that dreaded place. A place of filth, a stench, of fire. A place of corruption, a place of evilness, a place of darkness. There is no other way. If there had been any other way, Jesus would not have had to come to earth and die. But God made it possible that we, through the cross of Jesus, can enter heaven. You determine your eternal destiny by deciding what you will do with Jesus Christ. Everything comes to that central point. What will you do with Jesus? To decide against Jesus Christ is fatal. Indecision is fatal. Will you not confess Jesus Christ as Lord and be immersed into Him while you still may? When death comes, it's too late to be saved. So be saved while you still can. Be saved as we stand and sing our invitation song.